Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour tonight of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. As we are still abuzz over the Patriots beating the Bills 14-10, a game in which the Patriots threw the football a grand total of three times. Three times they threw it. So for anybody that says, boy, I just like offenses. No. This is the game of the year so far in the NFL.
I loved every minute of it.
We're going to get to the end of the season, and we're going to say, hey, what game stands out? What game do you remember the most? Oh, yeah, the three-pass game. It needs a title, though. That's the thing, is that this game, we can't call it the Mac Jones game because Mac Jones didn't do anything. We got to call it something where, you know, the three-throw game, the three – I don't know, but it needs a title. And I don't know what it is. And I'm
well,
I like to
lead,
have the answers. I don't have the answers.
Well, to take the lead from the old Phil Collins film, Buster, how about just Bluster?
The Bluster game?
No, just
the
Bluster.
Wind game. Just Bluster?
Not Guster like the band, but Bluster.
There's a band named Guster?
There is.
And Phil Collins really did a movie like that? Really?
No. He had a movie called Buster.
Right.
There's a band called Guster.
No, I get that part of it. I was asking both of those things are true. There is a band and he was in the movie?
Both of those things are true. Yeah.
Okay, I did
not
know
that. Phil Collins started his career as an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He was a child actor.
He was in was he in a movie called Sussudio?
Yes. He was always in the video for it.
Right.
Billy, don't lose my number in the whole nine yards.
No, man, I'll
but
tell
no,
you.
But no, he was the artful dodger in Oliver.
He was. I thought that was Tommy Lasorda. It was Phil Collins?
Performance.
Fine. It's Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun,
and remember
dun,
when
dun.
Phil saw it all? Look,
Studio.
I'm trying to think of the best Berman. That's the key here. How do you make this game a Bermanism?
Well, I got a good Bermanism for – well, let me do this before we get to Belichick and Brady and Shaq and Kobe. Mario Cristobal hired as the Hurricanes' new head coach today in Miami, how Berman would announce it. And clearly, this headline for Miami is super. Mario is the new head coach, TJ.
Nicely done. That's good.
No one needing a crystal ball to see that crystal ball was going to be the new head coach, TJ.
Nice.
No one was counting the Monte crystal ball that he was going to be in Miami as the head coach, TJ.
Should we file that under educational? By Alexander Dumbass.
You'd like that. It's about a prison break. Oh, really? But look, tonight we saw something that has been playing out exactly like a big story from nearly two decades ago. All right. Brady versus Belichick is playing out just like Shaq versus Kobe, playing together, the breakup, and how things went after. I've told you many times tonight. Bill Belichick, the reason he has a game like tonight, did he really need to throw the football just three times? No. But because of the wind, because of the elements, he was able to stand back and say, now I can win a game how I always want to win a game, and to show you that I don't need a quarterback to win. Right? Because I liked when Mac Jones was getting headlines early on in the year because it was really a shot at Tom Brady. Oh, look, Mac Jones is so good. Mac Jones. Now Mac Jones is getting too much credit. Okay? He's just been okay. He's getting too much credit. So now I'm going to show you I can win a game without a quarterback. So I'm going to throw the football three times. When clearly there were times in this game he could have thrown the football. He could have thrown the football when they had first and goal at the 11, when they need a touchdown that could really give them a two-score lead that makes it really difficult for the Bills. Bills. But no, it's not like he was having trouble. He threw the football a couple of times. They could have thrown the football more. You're on the 11-yard line. You'll need to throw the football 5 or 7 yards. But clearly he didn't do it. So, yes, was he doing this because it was a better game plan to not throw the ball? Yes, he did. But part of it was, I'm going to show you, Brady. For everybody who thinks it was Brady, no. He had to sit back for 2 decades and win games with Tom Brady and watch Brady get all the credit for winning. And it's Brady over Belichick, Brady over Belichick, right? Now, I'll show you how important a quarterback is when we win because of me. The egos of Belichick and Brady are incredibly huge, and it's playing out just like Shaq and Kobe, right? Both sets of teammates put aside their differences because it was good for the team, right? Shaq and Kobe didn't get along at all, but they were able to work together. They win 3 championships in a row. Belichick and Brady don't like each other, but they work together. They win Super Bowls. But eventually, one side or both sides get tired of the other. Shaq got tired of L.A., and he got tired of playing with Kobe. He wanted more money. Then he says, no, I want out. Brady the same way. I'm tired of doing it Bill's way, and I want out. And Gronk followed him out the door. So what happened? Both Brady and Shaq went for the first place they can go where they can win the Super Bowl or the NBA championship the fastest. Shaq goes to Miami with Dwayne Wade, and Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay, which already had a great offense. They bring in some other players, and they go and win the Super Bowl, just like Shaq won the first year with Miami. The first battle won by these guys, and Shaq and Tom Brady had to do it that way because they didn't have as much time left in the game as the other two guys they left. Kobe knew he was, you know, way younger. He was going to have more chances, and Belichick knows, listen, I'm going to be around coaching this game longer than Brady's going to be around playing it. All right, Brady's only going to have a couple of more years left at most, and then I'm going to continue to coach. So I'm taking the long view. So what happened last year? Belichick barely even went into the draft with any notion of taking a player who was going to help them in 2020. They draft a guy, they reach up for a guy. The first post-Tom Brady pick is a guy from a small college no one's ever heard of, right? This is what Belichick did. We don't have the money. We're not going to try to win in 2020. We got a lot of opt-outs. We're going to save our money, and then we're going to go after it. And then what happened this year? They went after free agency. They made a lot of big moves, and here they are now at the top of the AFC. This is Belichick saying, okay, Tom, blank you, man. You think you can win? You think you're good? Look at what I'm doing with a quarterback that I won't trust to even throw the football more than 3 times because of the wind. Look at what I'm doing with a guy I don't trust to throw the football more than 15 yards down the field, no matter what the weather is. He could be in a meadow filled with daffodils and dandelions. I'm not letting him throw the football. He could have a 10,000-mile-per-hour wind at his back. I'm still not letting him throw the football more than 10 yards down the field. And look at what I do, Tom, because you know what I've done? I've shown you the quarterback is maybe the 3rd or 4th most important person or entity on this team. The defense, the running game, our special teams, our field goal kicker, and then our quarterback. Because our quarterback is only doing what I need him to do. He has come into this system. He is doing what we expect him. I don't have to worry about him chafing under our rule. And look at what we're doing and look at how we're winning. I won with you, but look at what I'm doing with a guy that's not even quite you. And this is exactly where we're at. Because then Kobe was the same way. All right, Shaq, you won that first one. Let's just watch. And then the Lakers build their second dynasty. They go to 3 straight finals. Kobe wins 2 of them. Yes, they get the big trade for Pau Gasol. Thank you, Jerry West. But now you look back at Kobe's side and say, hey, Kobe won that war. Shaq won the first battle. Kobe went to 3 more finals and he won 2 of them. Now Belichick is thinking that it's the same way. Brady won that first battle, but boy, if I win one without him, that's going to count even more because of that. Because Shaq winning, boy, well, yeah, Dwayne Wade, who was emerging as a superstar in the league, and okay, he was kind of there as the number 2 guy for Dwayne Wade. But if Belichick does it, well, hey, without Tom Brady, I won. And, you know, because there was no Brady wins without Belichick. It's, boy, Brady goes. He's got a great team. You know, Bruce Arians is a good head coach. All the talent around him. Hey, Brady. But if Belichick wins without Brady, it's like that Super Bowl will count more. And he will have a chance to win more after that because he'll be in the league for a lot longer than Brady will. So this is where Belichick has taken that long approach of, all right, I might not win the first year, and you may win that one, Tom, but the years after that, it's going to be me.
Well, it's fun. What's funny about it, though, Jason, is, I mean, is there any guarantee that Tom Brady's done anytime soon? I mean, he's going to throw 40 touchdown passes again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can say they can battle. to is Belichick wanting to hang around till he's 80? Now, as we've had this,
we're going to keep going. We're going to keep
two punch drunk heavyweight boxers in the 15th. Now, look, and you've had this theory, and we've had some fun with it over the course of the evening in terms of drawing it out and how Belichick in game planning this one. You know, part of it was the maniacal Tom Brady obsession. Someone over at ESPN, the other network, might have a theory that really trumps yours. And I don't normally like to grab these kind of things, but I think the analogy used for Bill Belichick takes yours and makes you look like it's romper room. Go ahead, Dyshirt.
Well, you know what it is? It's that Bill Belichick is the GOAT. Bill Belichick is the greatest of all time. That he understands how to build football teams in his likeness and image. You know, the only other person they talked about building things in his likeness and image?
Yeah.
It was in the Bible. And
it was in the Bible.
That was like that.
Not Vince Lombardi. It was in the Bible.
No, it was God.
Oh,
so now we're
okay.
Talking about building in your own likeness.
Wow. Okay,
so
yes.
So he's crafting man. He's Dr. Frank Inverter. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Best builders. God. Number two, Bill Belichick.
That's okay, kind of
sure.
So it takes your obsession of, I need to beat Tom Brady and show I can do this without Tom Brady. I mean, now yours just looks like a child's play theory. I thought it was a great hot take theater. And then he brought out the Bible to trump that. But when you go through it, it's the excitement, I think, for the nation, because you like to have the team to hate. Who's hateable in the NFL? There's individual players, right? Some folks are really upset with what Aaron Rodgers and how he danced around language. So maybe he's the villain. But as a team, do you have a team other than, hey, look, the evil empire is rising again. They're building the Death Star Part 2. No, it's the Patriots. So they can get back into the mix, which is great for business. It's great for radio. It's great for sports TV. And it's great for football fans to say, this guy again? I thought they went away. Yeah, just for a year. Retooling, tinkering, and now coming back with this plan. And three pass attempts on the road to get your seventh straight win. Come on, it's everything you want and then some.
But, it is.
But you're, I like your Shaq Kobe analogy. I mean, it's apt in terms of the, you know, vitriol and the split, and, you know, some of it is, you know, going to be media driven as well, because there's got to be a winner and a loser in those at every stage. And it's all a matter of, do you like the short-term success or long-term? Because long-term's been pretty kind to both of them. Shaq for the personality, the commercials, the building of empire. I mean, he's a fascinating business.
Yeah, but this is on the field. I don't mean the, you know, building the empires and being bigger.
Right, but my point is with Shaq, the longer we get away from it, folks don't necessarily recognize that he was the equivalent of the guy hopping a train and going town to town like he was, you know, Dr. David Banner in The Incredible Hulk.
Sad Hulk.
What jersey is he wearing this week?
Hulk music.
Like, we remember that and think about that ding, bling, ding, ding, you know, and hearing that little piano going. We remember it, but the further you get away, it's like, wow, those guys just had massive careers. It's too bad they couldn't get along. Like, the sad end of Shaquille O'Neal's career and playing career, when it was just a, where am I hitching my post next? You know, that's kind of forgotten. But, yes, Kobe won more titles. And as they take down the lights and the shining STAP over at Staples Center,
yeah.
I know in Los Angeles is a very big deal as the house that Kobe built. That has people incensed. So it's good that we talk about the positives and those titles tonight.
But look, just realize that Belichick, whatever he does, part of it is, I want to prove to you this is my dynasty. It's not Tom Brady's dynasty. I can win with him. I can win without him. And that drives a lot of the decisions that he makes. Right? Again, it's never anything that's, I'm doing it my way because I can. But like tonight, hey, we don't need to throw the football tonight to win because I know what we can do defensively. I know we can run the football on them. So, yeah, here's a chance for me to show and flex my muscles and say, I don't need a quarterback. You think I need a Tom Brady to win? I could have won with anybody. I could have won with Matt Castle. I could have won with anybody. I could have won with Hardcastle and McCormick. I could have won with anybody.
Wow.
You like that? You like
that? Wow. Now, that is a very obscure reference that, well, two of us probably got in the audience. You and me.
But that is there. That is part of what motivates Belichick is always, I want to show you this is my dynasty and not Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I hate that song.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
You know, once it goes, you just got to let it go all the way to the end.
Oh, there's no question about it.
You can't interrupt it. You just got to let it happen. Just got to let it go. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, and we're going to get to more on the Patriots win tonight and just the reality for Mac Jones just for a second. But this is we can't let this go. After the game tonight, again, a game which is the game of the year in the NFL because it's something that we've never seen. The Patriots throw three passes to win a game because of the inclement weather and the wind, and they beat the Bills 14-10. Was it the best game of the year? No, but it's the most memorable game of the year because you don't see that. The last time we saw a team throw this few passes in a game was 1974, and it was the Bills, and they beat the Jets because, you know, Jets. So it's a big deal. And watching this game, Bill Belichick knew, I have the game plan against the Bills. I have the game plan against the weather. And it was clear that one side knew what they were doing top to bottom, and the other side did not. We're going to go out and try to fight our way through the elements, even though it's our home field. We know this field. We know the wind. We know the rain. We know the snow. No, no, no. We know. And the Bills look like the visiting team that play in Southern California that's not used to this, and they go out, oh, look what happens when they go to the East Coast. That's how bad the Bills look. They couldn't adjust the entire game to anything the Patriots were doing. The Bills knew the plays that were coming. They knew they were going to run the football, right? It's their own version of Spygate, right? They knew the Patriots are going to run the football, and still they couldn't stop them.
The
Patriots
won Super Bowls.
The Pats won Super Bowls. The Bills couldn't win this game. They knew that it was being run on every single play. 45 runs and three throws. No, no, no. We still wind up losing the game. Sean McDermott after the game said, quote, let's not give more credit than we need to give Bill Belichick in this one. I mean, sir, he said that. Take a listen to Sean McDermott.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, so I like my chances.
Okay, basically he just proved the point that, Bill Belichick should, because somehow he found a way to win going 0-for-1 in the red zone and their starting field position being at their 20-yard line.
And keeping us for 1-for-4.
You know, look,
starting at the 40. It's like I do not think these words mean what he thinks they mean.
I'd rather Sean McDermott had said, hey, let's not give Bill Belichick more credit because I suck tonight. I had no idea what I was doing. Clearly, I really blew this. Had he said that, I was like, okay, well, maybe it was more McDermott not knowing what was going on. But how do you say, let's not give Belichick more credit? I don't understand. What was he trying to say? We started our own 40. They started their own 23. Yeah, they found a way to win. They were 0-for-1 in the red zone. We were 1-for-4.
Well,
yeah,
they got one. They won that 1-0. Don't you know?
I know. What is Sean McDermott mean? This is what I mean when I say the Bills are the biggest front runners in the NFL. When things are going well, they're great. All their wins this year, their big blowout wins, they get up top early and they find a way to do it. And that's part of a good team. What you can do when you can get up early on a team and cruise to victory, that's all of their wins. All their losses, when they get punched in the mouth or they don't run away early, they can't find a way to adjust and win games. I mean, that's every game for the Bills. You think I'm lying to you. They lose to the Steelers opening week 23-16. How did they lose this game, right? But then they go, they shut out the Dolphins 35-0. They got out big. Washington 43-21. They got out big. Texans 40-0. They got out big, right? Chiefs 38-20. They got out big. Okay. Then they lose to the Titans, 34-31. They couldn't figure that out. They beat the Dolphins by two touchdowns. They lose to the Jaguars, 9-6. They got punched in the mouth. They couldn't figure it out. They beat the Jets, 45-17. And look, the Jets are terrible. So they got to – but they get punched in the mouth by the Colts. They lose by 30 points. All right? They go out big against the Saints. They don't fall behind. And they win 31-6. They get punched in the mouth by the Patriots. And it's a back-and-forth game. They can't win. They can't adjust. And they can't win games that they don't get out to big leads at. I mean, that's it. That's every game for the – I just gave you every game there. And for a team that's supposed to be a Super Bowl team, they're 1 week away because they got to play at Tampa Bay next week from being just another team in the AFC, from being a 7-6 team that's really going to struggle to make the playoffs. Because right now they got a game and a half back in New England in the AFC East. And they still got to play at New England later on in the year. So that's another couple of losses. And you can only have so many losses if you're going to win the division. So, yeah, the Bills are a big front-running team. I don't know where their leadership is. I don't know. You know, Josh Allen's our leader. Well, when they have games where things are back and forth, I don't always see the, hey, Josh Allen did this, or who's grabbing the team by the scruff of the neck, or Sean McDermott saying, look, this is how we're going to win. When you struggle to win those games, that's a lack of being able to grind it out. That's a lack of being able to find leadership to get yourself through the game. And there was nothing tonight. The Bills just kept doing the same old thing every single time they had the football and seeing if it was going to be different, and it wasn't. And there was no creativity. There was no anything out of Buffalo tonight. And that's kind of what I've seen from them over the course of the past few months. Now, maybe they're a little bored early on in the year. I could get that because they're winning big and they were in the AFC title game a year ago. We're just going to get back there this year. But the rest of this now, these last few weeks, doesn't really make sense. And they struggle. And they struggle. I don't know. Is the identity of this team being, we're Josh Allen driven? We're going to be a high-powered offense? We're going to run the football and throw it? I don't know. Are they following the leads? Is Sean McDermott in his game plan? I don't know what this team is. They have lost their identity, and they've lost a way to be able to fight through and win games where the outcome is not decided in the first 10 minutes of the first quarter.
Yeah, what we've watched is after the end of that four-game winning streak, it's been a pattern of win-loss, win-loss. There's been no consistency, and part of that's due, and tonight was no exception. As soon as you found out there was going to be gusts of up to 35, 40 miles an hour, you had people 2 hours before kickoff wondering, should this game be played? It's like, oh, no. Quote, football weather. Is in effect, which means you don't have to like it, but they're not canceling it unless somebody's truly in danger. And it'll be a miserable experience, and I'm sure for those that attended, not exactly what they had in mind. But the reality is you have to play. And as soon as all the reports of the elements came to fruition, and we'd seen some notes about it yesterday anticipating precipitation, which you got, but then you got the huge gusts, it became an advantage Patriots, and you couldn't have believed it was going to be to this level, the level of dominance in the run game, 5.7 yards per carry, but also the Buffalo offense doesn't have a running back that you trust. A little bit of Devin Singletary, Matt Breida, you wanted to trust him, but he put the ball on the carpet. Zach Moss was a healthy scratch a week ago. That was a guy they were expecting to make big strides this year. He's not existing. Your leading rusher on the night ended up being Josh Allen. Right, with one big scramble that he had. And so you look at the way the team's constructed, a game like this, and you didn't have that element, no balance in that regard. They still rushed for 99 yards, but you know, not anything that was going to really help keep pushing the line, because then eventually he had to put the ball in the air and nobody made a play. Right? A couple of misses. He had a deep shot to Diggs that he missed. Right, that Diggs missed, that should have been caught, that has been conveniently forgotten. Another one, he went for the back shoulder, and a little bit of miscommunication that falls harmlessly incomplete. Dawson Knox a couple of times had a chance to make plays and didn't. So you have some of those kind of roll back up to try to say, all right, here's your big game, your big spotlight game, the nation watching, and all we're going to remember is you got run over. And then everybody's saying stupid things or acting like fools at the podium. That's what this comes down to. As for identity, look, you're in the AFC. All it's going to mean is in the middle of December, you have to find yourself into a streak and start playing well in the middle of January. What they do get to kind of look forward to is the Bills have Tampa this week, whereas New England, They have their bye week. Yes, week 14, New England gets to take a seat, you know, go to the hot tub and relax after playing in these elements, rest those weary bones, and then they'll come back for the final four games on their schedule.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, the Mac Jones side of it, this should really tamp down everybody's over-exuberance with wanting to praise Mac Jones.
Although no, I know he's somebody, a winner.
I know somebody tomorrow is going to say that. We're going to get some crazy-ass take because someone's going to get attention on it, and they're going to say, you know, I know they only threw the ball three times last night, but I like what Mac Jones did, right? He put his head down. He handed the ball off. He didn't get upset. He didn't chafe. He didn't have bad body language. And the teammates see that. You know, they see that he's that leader. And after the game, he said the right things. It doesn't matter if we win. Doesn't matter how many passes we throw as long as we win. I saw a lot of leadership and poise out of Mac Jones last night. All he did was hand the ball off. But someone's going to say that because Mac Jones has that image which everybody craves to have is, boy, I want to be that quarterback that people are dying to say good things about. Because you know what? Honestly, didn't we see tonight? Mac Jones is just a guy. He's a guy that plays quarterback for the Patriots. He's not Tom Brady. He's not the next coming. He's not someone who, boy, what he's done so far in his career is even better. No, it's not. Tom Brady was actually winning games even when he first came into the league and he first got the gig after Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe. Brady was throwing game-winning passes and winning games. Mac Jones is managing the offense, right? The guy has had 200-300-yard games this year, right? He has a great quarterback rating because he throws the football accurately and short. Look at his games. 186, 139, 198, 19 yards, 207, 217, 231. He doesn't throw the football. He's not asked to do a lot. There's a lot of guys that can do this. Now, Mac Jones is the right fit because the one thing that Belichick does that he's always done is the system I want to run, I'm going to bring in the players that can do it. Unlike Robert Saleh and the Jets who say, I have a system I want to run and I'm just going to try to square peg round hole it and I'm going to go scheme over player. Belichick says, no, this is what I want to do, but I know the right players that are going to come in and be able to execute this. And Mac Jones is the right player to come in and execute this offense. A guy that's not going to throw the football a lot, that's going to be quiet, that's going to be someone who I don't have to worry about what he thinks when he leaves the stadium and talking to other guys on the team. He's going to be very happy to be a rookie quarterback of the team that wins. And this is what they do. Mac Jones doesn't do a lot. He doesn't. He's just a guy. He is playing well enough where they win games, but there's not one game I can say, boy, you know what? They won this game because of Mac Jones, right? His two best games, they won by 30 points. Those are his best games. They have not won one game because of Mac Jones. They have won games because of their defense. They've won games because of their running game. They have lost games because of fumbles when they shouldn't have had it. But Mac Jones doesn't win or lose games. He's just there. All right, he's not someone that says, boy, now Mac Jones is going to put this team on his shoulders and win. Boy, look, Mac Jones will throw when a guy is wide open. You know what the Patriots have been doing for 20 years? Running rub and pick routes that have guys wide open, and still the NFL can't find a way to stop them. But this is kind of what they do. They pick and they rub, and they pick and they rub, and guys are wide open. And Rob Gronkowski running downfield, doesn't matter what team he's on, he's just running downfield open. I can catch the ball anywhere I want. This is what the Patriots have done, and this is what Mac Jones is executing. He's been good enough. Yes, he's been a rookie quarterback that's played better than the other guys and he's won a little bit more, but he's kind of just a quarterback, right? He's just a guy. He's not as good as Tom Brady. He's not exceeding Tom Brady. He's not doing anything better than Tom Brady did at any point in his career. But because the desire to have the next Tom Brady or think we have the next Tom Brady, because it was great talking about Tom Brady for the past 20 years, let's go over the top with the praise for Mac Jones, right? I can praise him to what's the reality for him. He's playing well enough on this team. There's a reason why I picked the Patriots to go to the AFC Championship game before the season. Remember, I did that there. I thought Mac Jones would do exactly what he's doing now. They'd manage the game. They'd score enough offensively, but they'd run the football. They'd play great defense. Their defense would really step up, which it has, and that's exactly what's happened right now for the Patriots. That's the reality and the best things to say about Mac Jones to be accurate. Anything more than that, and what are you saying, really? You're just finding a a way to say something about a guy when clearly, as far as, is he even one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't even know if he's one of the top 15 guys. So,
and
that's okay. He's a
winner of seven straight going into his bye week.
But that's the reality of Mac Jones, right? Anything more, anything else is just over the top, and it's not in step with what we've seen so far.
And that's okay. The analogies to Brady, at least what the offense construction was, and we can go back box score to box score and have fun with that if we need to. But it's the idea that the defense and just, as you said, the rub routes, the short and intermediate passes, find some yak, occasionally a big play, and have a kicker that you rely on is a formula that works. Right, top two scoring defense coming into tonight. You took care of business. 10 points allowed. Check. Right, couple of field goal and opportunities. As Sean McDermott was so happy to tell us, you know, we had four red zone opportunities. We went 1-for-4. Right, which means you failed three times. Victory Belichick and his defense. But Jones, you're looking at a 70% completion rate. 2-to-1 touchdown to INT. Not world beating, but you know what? That's fine. Almost 3,000 passing yards. You mentioned the 200-300-yard games. Well, Joe Burrow got his third this week against the Chargers. How'd that work out for him? They got blown out, and now we're watching his fingers swell on the sideline. Aaron Rodgers only has three this year. Right, obviously he missed a game, but he's only got three. Tannehill has two. Wentz has two. Those are guys that, you know, some would argue up towards top 15. Certainly Wentz has played very well this year. So, you know, for Mac Jones, he in spots where you need him to, he pushes the ball a bit. They put up points. Does he need to be world-beating? No, that's not the formula. Plop him into, you know, some alternate universe where he's on a bad team and just keep spinning the ball. Jets probably has some pretty good stats when it's all said and done, assuming he can avoid the pass rush from playing behind a terrible offensive line. See, all those things work hand in hand, right? We could find some fun numbers. The only guy that we can't find fun numbers on a bad team is Trevor Lawrence. But we'll get to him tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I've had Trevor Lawrence in the holster for a while now.
It's been about sitting there. Yeah, I mean, you've like done probably 14 different versions of it at this point. You could sell them as an NFT series that is just waiting out there. And we've alluded to it a couple of times, but we haven't done the deep dive. Why? Because the Jaguars suck and they're not worthy of that much more time. But for Mac Jones, look, you're in a position to win with a solid squad and a coach that knows what he's doing. I don't think we should, you know, while we don't need to be effusive with the praise, it's not exactly a place whereby the base is crumbling underneath him either.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burris. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And pour one out for the Staples Center. Very shocking video today of the letters being taken down off the iconic stadium, arena. Get ready for crypto.com. But it will always be Staples. It will
never on St. Nicholas Day. Some 19 days before the name is officially changing, the signage begins to be torn asunder.
Nobody got shot, I sure
they
did.
Shot the letters off, Jason.
That's how crypto.com was doing
yes.
it. We're just shooting the letters
we
off.
We only want our name if there's done with muskets.
Now, if they actually used muskets or muskets, as you called them so many years ago.
It would have been tough because you got a fire and then you have to stuff it with whatever you stuff it.
What's the rush?
Well, difficult. No, I mean, there you're just taking stuff from the brush, whatever. Like, you're just grabbing crap to throw into the gun and you're firing. You didn't need proper ammunition back in the day of the musket.
What's our firing rate? Well, we can fire once every 4 minutes. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, that's going to be tough. Oh, that's really difficult. Good luck.
Where do you think the letters go? Are they going to auction them off?
I would think so. I would assume.
I'll take the C.
Yeah. I'm sure like Jimmy Kimmel will get one. Bill Plaschke will get one. Yeah, they're all going to take those letters and do something with them.
I like that you gave one to our guy, Bill Plaschke.
Of course he's going to have it. He was just upset as I was. Staples Center was not going to be called Staples Center anymore.
And I mocked you both.
I love you both, but I mocked you both. I'm just going to call it the Stape.
Although that's I didn't spend tons of time there, so I don't have the same emotional resonance. To me, it's a business transaction.
It's always business with you, though. That's what it is. It's business.
Always business, never personal.
Sometimes.
That way I don't get hurt, Smith.
Sometimes.
Anytime I put my heart out there, like with the Bears and so many other situations, I just get crushed. So well, this way, if I just keep it to dollars and cents, it makes life easier.
That's just your own fault.
Holler if you hear me.
A couple of big stories from tonight. Heisman Trophy, the finalists have been announced. It's not going to be a big deal. All right, Bryce Young is going to win. He's going to win handily.
Minus 5,000.
The vote isn't going to be close, and this is why the Heisman Trophy has fallen off in recent years, because there's been no close races, but it's going to be Young. I'd love for Aiden Hutchinson to win. I'd love for some. Nobody else is going to win. He's going to win, and it's going to be very anticlimactic.
Well, the problem is, you know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but when we look at and evaluate week to week college football, we're not talking about it in terms of awards. We're talking about, all right, whose team does he fit on? Who does he comp to? Let's see the throwing motion. Let's see the accuracy. You know, what quarterback, current or former, is the most apt comparison? Or if we're talking about an offensive lineman, is he more an Orlando Pace style, or insert your favorite lineman here? I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do. We project to the pros. We're not talking about it in terms of achievements other than a national title. The individual accolades, you know, they live forever and they'll get $75 per inscription for winning. But beyond that, it kind of pushes on.
Meanwhile, Mario Cristobal becomes the new head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, replacing Manny Diaz. The thing is about this job is that people still think the Miami Hurricanes job is one of the best jobs in college football, because we keep thinking about the heydays of the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s. This is a program that's had three or more losses every year for almost two decades. Okay, the unrealistic expectations is what tells you when a job is a great job and when a job is not a great job. Miami fans, they expect him to win 11 games next year, and that's not going to happen. That's not what this program has been, and this is one of those hired-to-be-fired kind of situations, because everybody involved with the school and the fans has unrealistic expectations.
He just wants to go home, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's great.
Go home and get a big paycheck.
It's great,
but
for a couple of years, it's going to be, wait, you went 9-4 and 9-4. No, that's not what we want here. But that's not what Miami program is, but that's what's going to be expected. It's tough. Miami's not
reality
the job
bites. What can I say?
And TJ, thank Winona Ryder and Ethan Hawke for reality bites, TJ. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Malley. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jason for Mike. Jets, yo.